B-Pod Studios.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There is a report out there today. I should say some speculation out there today as it relates to the future of the Arizona Cardinals, who have hired a new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, which blows my mind. I didn't want this guy to be the Patriots offensive coordinator. Now he's a head coach
in Arizona. Head coach in the NCAA.
And I'll tell you, you got a live one there. He's electric. You heard him talk? Oh, my God. He'll put you to sleep.
I actually haven't.
Really?
No. I like Mike Gundy. Give me some of him.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Is the Jets thing official?
Oh, yeah.
Jets thing is official. Gase. They're going with Adam Gase. What? Yeah, give me your thoughts on that.
No, go. Tomato can.
Huh? Go.
Again, from one shelf to the other. You know, the guy, like, what? That's
like. And Miami still doesn't have a guy.
It's a lot of experience in the AFC East. Getting his ass
Speaking
kicked.
Speaking of that, like, yeah. Miami doesn't have a coach, and they really do. Is he their quarterback? They may not even have a quarterback right now.
It's unbelievable.
If they want to move away from him. Yeah, just think about that.
Decades after decades.
So you think Adam Gase stinks and will continue to do
yeah, so? I think that would be the old boy network in baseball, the retreads like that.
Back to Schefter, though. So Kingsbury.
So Kingsbury takes over in Arizona, and the speculation on this today is that because Cliff Kingsbury loves Kyler Murray. Oh, we have the audio of it.
Okay, let's go.
Well, let me just tell you, it relates to what they might do with the new head coach who loves a guy who's coming out in the draft.
Hang on real quick here.
What?
Because when Kyler Murray, when they were talking about him coming out, if he declares for football, they're projecting him to be a top two-round pick. He might go somewhere in the second round, late first round, second round. So this is about people going up the board. This is crazy.
Well, the Cardinals get the number one pick in every round. So they've got plenty of ways to wiggle. Okay? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Here's Adam Schefter from ESPN.
Situation. We just heard Cliff Kingsbury talking about it. Is it inconceivable, if he really likes Kyler Murray, that he goes in that direction and all of a sudden Josh Rosen becomes trade bait?
Well, this is also new and also fresh. But the one thing about the NFL is that quarterbacks are currency. And I can tell you this, that last year, when the Cleveland Browns had the first and fourth overall picks, at one point in time, I know people would be skeptical of this, they considered taking quarterbacks at one and four, and then auctioning off one of the quarterbacks that they like less. So if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you like Kyler Murray that much, it's hard to imagine going number one overall.
Right.
But maybe there's a scenario that you get him and then you auction off Josh Rosen. If that's what the new quarterback likes, if that's what he wants, why would you not acquiesce to that when you could get a king's ransom for Josh Rosen, who some teams really like? Again, we're getting things started here really early and really putting things out there, but it's not implausible that that scenario could unfold.
I love
it. It's amazing in 2 weeks how Kyler Murray now all of a sudden could shoot up from second rounder all the way to the number one overall pick. Because that's kind of what he's talking about. You're not going to trade Josh Rosen if you get Kyler Murray, you know, in the second or third round.
What's to say that he's going to be in the second or third round?
But people were projecting him to be a second round pick.
What does that matter?
Size-wise. Because he's just telling you that if Kingsbury loves him that much, you pick him number one overall in your trade, Rosen.
I mean, look at last year.
That's
look at the way
means.
Baker Mayfield shot up
Simple
the board
math.
Leading up to the draft.
Yeah.
And look.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody.
And for once, the Browns were right. For once in their life, they got it right.
Yeah.
The kid can play.
Yeah,
so
can play.
It can happen. Just because you're projected somewhere 4 or 5 months before the draft, I don't think really matters.
Not only could he play when the lights were at brightest at Oklahoma, he was the best guy at the combine.
All right. So
and I'm
that's
a combine
proof.
Freak.
That's proof that you can shoot up the board if things go well for you. Anthony Becht, former NFL tight end, played with the Jets in the early 2000s, also the Bucks. 12 years in the league. Now he works for ESPN doing college football.
B-E-C-T-H-T.
Yeah, Anthony Becht. He tweeted this morning. Throwing this out there to chew on, folks. Cardinals trade Rosen to the Patriots. Pats get a first-round quarterback on the cheap, meaning they won't give up the same draft capital that the Cardinals gave up to get him. Cardinals draft Kyler Murray number one and get a decent draft pick in return. Patriots get their future Tom Brady. Hashtag very Patriot-ish.
Possible. Something about Rosen annoys me.
What is it?
I just seem smarmy.
It was me for once. It's never me. Oh.
Just smart. Like, I don't know. Just his delivery, his demeanor. Smarmy.
Okay.
I think he would. He could rub some people the wrong way, maybe. I don't know.
It's an interesting thought.
I mean, if he's that damn good,
if Rosen's available, how many teams are going to be looking?
Remember, he said, I'm the best guy in the damn draft. Yeah.
How many teams are looking for a quarterback?
The old man was loaded. You know, he didn't need a scholarship and all that stuff. There's something about Rosen.
Well, there's
a
reason Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State keeps posting stuff about the Giants, because the Giants have the sixth pick in the draft, but they are perceived as the first team that's picking that needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they don't even need one, but they're the first team that's perceived as needing one, and they don't pick till sixth. So there's not a ton of teams this year that are going to go after quarterbacks.
So Haskins is from New York, huh? I thought he's from, like, Florida.
So part of my point there is not a lot of teams looking for quarterbacks. Not a lot of teams looking to trade for quarterbacks. And the Patriots could be one of them. Which sort of brings us back to this story on Bleacher Report this week. Dan, have you heard about it? The Brady is in decline due to his age story?
Yeah, they have data, correct?
It's a lot of data.
Well, it's called stats,
yeah. It's a lot of statistical data.
Spinning, throwing too soon.
I give Tommy credit some... I give Tommy Curran some credit for banging his head against the wall, going at the guy on Twitter a little bit.
It's great.
And getting nowhere because this guy is just dug in on his statistical data.
It's good for this guy because you're so much wishing that. Hope they get load up, get some pieces around him. Brady has a great year next year, and this guy's just becomes obsolete.
That's what I mean. That's where this guy has nowhere to go.
Then you got nothing to write about it again.
I want to know what his take will be next year if Brady comes back and is great with, you know, some new talent around him. And where do you go then? Let me say this. I was thinking about this yesterday as I read this, and you know my thoughts. So you and I agree. I think the story is ridiculous. It doesn't provide enough context. It doesn't tell you what's really happening. It sounds like it's coming from someone who doesn't watch the games. He just looks at this raw data that's compiled, and I just don't care for that. I don't care about that stuff.
We'll call him Carmine.
Whatever. Carmine, or what's their new system called? Do they have a new name for their new computer?
I think it's Pedro.
Pedro. Carmine or Pedro. I just don't care for it. But let's say this. So we think it's impossible to know based on there being a lack of guys around him, but we do see some flaws. Brady spinning out of throws, diving out of throws. Brady making some mental mistakes that we don't typically see him make. What if there is a decline due to age and we aren't seeing it because we know the factors that are contributing to the way the offense has looked and the production of the offense? What if next year he comes back and he does have a decline with something better around him and he's still not the same guy? This guy does have a chance to be right.
Right. Of course. But
that's right. That's he does have a chance to be right.
The man's going
to
be 42 years old.
But Dan, it could go either way. And if he comes back and plays well and goes on a tear next year, this guy is definitively wrong. He is.
In terms of trending, yes. Eventually, he's...
His case is that it's over, that it's done. Mm-hmm. There is no coming back from it because
he can't. We will laugh at him.
Because of the age.
Yeah, I would not go that strong.
Well, you didn't, but this guy did. Tannier. He went that far. So you can't... Once you say that, you can't come back from that. If Brady comes back and has a good year. If Brady sucks next year, then the guy has more ammo, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There will be a winner and loser on
this. Being wrong does not prohibit you from coming back.
Yes, it does. When you are giving a final analysis that it's over, there is no coming back.
Clickbait.
When you say that, and then there's a comeback, you were dead wrong.
Right.
You don't come back from that. You lost.
He said the only controversy is for those that only defend him.
Which is foolish.
He doubles down on it.
Let's get your calls on this. 617-779-0985. Some speculation on Josh Rosen and also Tom Brady. and the decline, according to Bleacher Report. That's on the way after the action update, brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only places in New England you can legally bet on sports. Powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hey,
yeah, I just got colder.
It got colder in here. They turned the cold back on.
Oh, my God, there was a draft.
Reshake my hand warmers.
Shake them out there, Hardy. Yeah. Shake them out like a shake weight. 617-779-0985.
What are you, jackhammer?
Dan Shaughnessy is with us, and we're going to go to your phones, including this call from Duncan in Boston. Hi, Duncan.
Hey, so I think it was Fogar and Maz yesterday when I was back at home. We're talking about Brady's decline, and it seems more of a mental thing. I was just wondering if you guys thought it might be because of social media. I know because they were also saying it's more about what he can do rather than what the team can do. I just looked. His first Instagram post was January of 2017. I mean, I know he's on Twitter too, I think.
He's just on Instagram.
I don't get it. So you're saying because he's on social media, he's therefore making mental mistakes?
Yes.
Is that the point? Yeah.
Okay, I'll hang up now because that's a foolish point.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Wow. He doesn't do it. Guys, I hate to break this to you. I know you like interacting with your favorite athletes on social media. He doesn't do his Instagram. Someone does it for him. He doesn't sit there and bang away.
What about the TV Times?
No. That stuff's posted like 10 minutes after the game.
I don't agree with all of it, though, Beetle. He does some of it. He likes posts. Somebody's there liking posts for him.
I'll bet you 20.
I don't agree with that.
20 to 25% of the posts are his, personally.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Fair.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing enough social media that it's taking away anything from his ability to play quarterback.
You know when he does
is that
it,
fair to say?
I agree with you there. I'm just saying I think he does
do some
of it himself.
You're right. I'm sure because sometimes you'll see a picture from home or something.
Yeah, I don't think he produces the videos.
Right.
I sit out there and I think beat LA.
Fun. It's not changing who he is. Let's just put it that way. Okay.
How's the beat LA thing going?
Foolishness.
You like that damn?
And you know what? To Julian Edelman's credit,
wrong sport.
He's not doing that either.
Right.
That's not him. That's some marketing person working for him.
They're not even L.A. I mean, I know they
are.
But no one thinks of them that way.
Not really. Have you heard Hardy's song, Dan? We've updated.
I have not.
Okay, we'll hear that coming up at 12:30. Steve, or sorry, 12:36, I should say. Steve is in Providence. Steve.
Hey, guys. My question is for Zolak. What do you think would be the best in the best interest of the Patriots, seeing how our defense is extremely suspect? Should we try to run the ball and take the air out of it, or should they just spread them wide and take advantage of the running back coming out of the backfield? Have a good one, guys.
Take the air out of it? Is that a joke there?
Was that a little jab there?
The flake gate.
I kind of understand what he's saying with the latter there. I think the backs in the passing game, the quick stuff, is a huge part of this game.
PSI will be down on Sunday, Dan. It's going to be cold.
Yeah, squeeze that ball. Yeah.
Be watching.
I didn't want to start this stuff.
Don't.
My kid, he's got basketball tonight, so he picked basketball on Saturday, and it was freaking freezing over the weekend.
Yeah.
He left his basketball in the car.
Yeah.
I take it out and go to bounce it, thunk, and it just sticks on the ground. And I pull out my phone, and I'm like, the PS. And I'm like, nope.
Don't.
It's not worth it.
Don't do it.
Not doing it.
Yeah, no, the ideal gas law is a real thing.
I don't care. I'm not getting.
It's a real thing, and based on the numbers,
that was
that the
a
league
miserable,
provided,
miserable time.
The balls would not have been under, but that doesn't mean they didn't do it.
Oh God!
If you follow, but
it
we're not going to do that.
Never about the science.
We're not going to do that again.
It was about the custody.
You heard about that out in San Francisco, didn't you? Like you got told that stuff.
We're not doing that today. We spent 2 years on this. We're not doing it again.
Sit there and draw it up for you.
Tell me it hasn't passed through your mind just a little bit, though, with a game at home. You know, are there going to be any headsets that go out on
listening to Zoe in the first quarter?
Anything like that?
You know,
is the visiting locker room going to be, 32 degrees
I did,
when they go in there.
I did hear Felger Mass doing the fumble statistics. Somebody called in with the P, you know, based on the fact now that the balls are all real and they're very hard. You feel them.
I do.
Well, I mean, if you're down there, if you're on the sideline, you grab a ball. They're all over the sideline. Grab a ball next time.
Are you supposed to?
I can't squeeze it.
Are you supposed to?
What?
Maybe touch
the ball. They're like kicking balls rolling around.
Oh, those are different.
Well, they're all the same, but that's what you practice with. They're like rocks, man.
Just continuing to read up on Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
His dad was a coach, and so even when Philip Rivers was a little kid, he always used the full-size football, which is what started the funky motion.
Oh.
Because he couldn't grip the ball.
That's it.
The Duke.
So you almost shot-put it.
Yeah, so he's trying to sort of push it while he's throwing it as a kid, and therefore he got into this weird, you know, set of mechanics that he has. But you would think with his dad being a coach, he'd look at his own kid and say, you don't look right. Try and fix that.
But back to the PSI thing, everybody thought the Patriots were taking air out of the football so they could squeeze them, and the fumbles were down and the interceptions were down and Brady could squeeze it and the backs could squeeze it. They're not fumbling as much as all these other teams are fumbling. They're left in the tournament right now.
It's a lot.
They're
like
the lowest
fumbling
team.
It's a lot like me teaching my kids with the full-size 175-gram Ultimate Sport Disc. There's no little Frisbees in our house.
Yeah.
You know, it's and they've developed, you know, an odd throwing motion, but it's going to serve them well later in life. You watch.
Okay. Paul is in Rhode Island today. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you, good. Paul?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, before they drafted the current or the injured San Francisco
Jimmy G.
quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo, okay.
Jimmy G. And before that, Brady was showing all the signs that he's showing now. He was throwing unbelievably poor interceptions. He was all over the place. He was ducking out of tackles that weren't there. He was seeing ghosts. And then they put Garoppolo chewing on his heels, and he became a new guy after that. Now they get rid of Garoppolo, and he hasn't shown that streak of excellence as so much.
So you're saying go get another guy?
Maybe it's not so much decline in age, or it might have something to do with it, but I don't think he's got a fire on his ass right now. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that needs that.
It's the season now. He's got fire on his ass now. The question...
Well, he's got it now.
I'm talking about the offseason. Right. No, it's a legitimate point. Like, if Garoppolo is here, is this like couple skate or something? They turn the lights down. It's going to be like Al Martino.
They turn the lights down and put some R&B music on. Al Martino's
greatest hits.
Very romantic in here.
You know, Rocky and Adrian are going to be out there in a minute.
Happy Gilmore? Yeah, when they Endless Love, they're like out there skating.
It's Rocky and Adrian. They started it, and then I think Happy Gilmore ripped it off.
You guys all look better in this light.
You know, as I thought we could go for a skate, like for a date. And then maybe we could mate. My love.
Do you think they have to go get another quarterback for that purpose?
I think they need another quarterback anyway.
Because Brian Hoyer sucks. Just saying.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to say it. I got too much respect for the position. You're not going to be in the league as long as you have to make the money you have if you suck. He's not what you want. He's what you want. If Brady's hand goes off a helmet for a quarter or a game, but not for a 4 to 5 game stretch. That's all. So they need to look. They need to start looking.
Maybe that guy is Josh Rosen.
And maybe they get that guy.
I hope so.
And maybe, hey, I think there is a lot of stuff with the drama that has been buried. I mean, we have mentioned it. We've talked about it, but we don't know it in detail. Like, I'm sitting there watching that game come down, and when they take Brady out of the game at the end, and he's standing with his arms crossed, and Bill comes over, and they kind of nod, and they tap each other, and they stand there, and they talk for about 3 minutes. And I'm like, look at this, Bob. Like, you could just tell, and watching him on the road, watching him in game and stuff, that they're good. Meaning, I think some of that drama has been buried.
Why did he come out of the Bills game and not come out of the Jets game?
Because he doesn't like the Jets.
So that was just all about.
He just wanted to bury the Jets.
That was just Jay Hate.
I don't think he knew that. Okay, Bill's game's in hand. Bill's got a pretty good front. I think Tom. When you actually look at the way Tom moved in the Jets game compared to the Bills, the Bills game was first. Jets was last.
Yeah,
Brady looked like he was moving better in that final game.
Oh, it was the Jets.
So
how many players?
You know, maybe he was hurting more that week too. That's all in play.
Danny is in Quincy. Danny.
I want to know why nobody's talking or doesn't have any concern about the field goal kicker for the Patriots. Okay,
he's missed
5 field goals this year, and he's suspect in the 40s. Okay, does that mean Brady has to drive the team down, what, the 20-yard line for him to make one?
Yeah.
It's a concern.
Yep.
And nobody's talking about it. My heart is in my throat. He missed two kicks against Miami, which, you know, you can take away the play at the end and all the other crap and the Brady brain lapse before the half. That's 4 points he left on the table.
Danny, you're leaving out the bigger thing here, which is look at his history in the final game each year. The last few years.
Yeah.
And I mean, that to me is an even bigger part of it.
And I'll go you one better, Danny, because I've talked about this a lot. It's not just the field goals. It's the extra points. Changes the whole complexion of the game.
It's always been an issue, seemingly, in the postseason. Yep. And, you know, the game that stood out to me as far as crispness and sharpness was the Minnesota game. The first five to 7 minutes of that game, they played flawlessly in that game. They did stall a little bit, but that's the way, in my opinion, they have to come out against San Diego. Yeah. Get them
that's
early.
A good point.
Get them early,
people,
and then hang on for dear life at the end because, you know, I mean, that's just the way I see it. And the other thing I wanted to ask Zolak is a diminished Gronkowski, does he warrant double coverage?
No.
He doesn't?
No.
Well, that's a big factor. So if San Diego, if the Chargers feel like they don't have to double him or he's quote-unquote a decoy like he was against the Giants, maybe not that bad, but then they're in trouble.
But are they taking their best, most physical defender and their best safety and matching him up one-on-one and taking him out of the play? So there's two streets. What you could do is you could keep him opposite Gronk and then double-team Gronk with two lesser players.
I mean, he's still a formidable receiver. He's got the stick-em catches left in him, and he's become a possession receiver. But
I don't think you can forget about him, Danny. This is the type of game where he could have eight catches, man.
I hope you're right. And the other thing is,
coming off rest.
I don't know how you can say the original Chargers uniforms were the best in the history of the game. The uniforms they wear now are not like they wore, you know, in the beginning. Zolak. So you uniforms.
I love the all white look. I love the all white helmet. The white jersey, white pants. I'm with you though. That powder blue jersey. And when they had the number, they had the numbers on the side of the helmet, going back to Lance Allworth.
They're the only team that ever had the numbers on the side of the helmet, and they had shoulder stripes.
I'd love it. Yeah. Love those.
Yeah, this is the guy to call on uniforms. So
call any day on uniform.
You could do a uniform show.
I could.
Like Sunday mornings, you know, right before the fantasy football show. What do we call it? Laundry talk.
What did you see the other night in the national championship game? Two freaking teams that haven't changed their uniforms in 30 years.
It looked good.
Says something about tradition, about the brand.
Yeah, you know who I hate changing. Who I hate in terms of why do you change your uniforms? That's Notre Dame. The hell are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing changing your uniforms all the time?
How about Ohio State too.
All that tradition there.
Ohio State.
You should never change your uniform.
Ohio freaking State
ever.
Does it.
Does Penn State stay the same?
Not changed it.
That is like 1940s Bronco Nagurski.
Yes.
No names on the back, nothing, man. It's awesome.
Ooh, they are.
He was a serial postcard sender, Bronco Nagurski. Dan's dates are coming up at 12:50. We'll get to more of your calls next. I also have a quick baseball item for Dan while he's here to get our off-season baseball talk in. Just spare me like two or three minutes, though.
No, because I want to talk about this player, too.
I think you'll enjoy it. Two or three minutes, and we'll also get back to your Patriots calls. Don't forget, another chance to win Patriots tickets.
Ooh.
An hour from now at 1:30.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Look for Jaro Halak in net tonight as the Bruins take on the Capitals at the TD Garden. We are here at Warrior for the Morning Skate, where the players have taken off their pads, and now they're just doing some recreational skate. Oh, that's not them? Oh, those different people. Tonight, Judd Zerot, Bob Beers have the call. Pre-game 6:30 on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda CRV. Celtics over the Pacers last night, 135-108. Second night of back-to-backs tonight when they visit Miami. It's another early one, 7 o'clock tip on 105.7 WROR. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on that call. Coach Bill Belichick getting his team ready for the Chargers on Sunday afternoon. Coach?
They're big, they're fast, they're hard to tackle after the catch, they make big plays down the field. Both the Williams are, I think they're averaging about 15 yards a catch, something like that. Benjamin's obviously an explosive guy, can score from anywhere on the field. Keenan Allen's as good a receiver as there's in the National Football League. Tough after the catch, hard guy to tackle, very good route runner, exceptional route runner, great hands, concentration. So, I mean, they have a great group of receivers.
Headlines are brought to you by My Hair Doctors. Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti offering free consultations at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Zola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5. Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Wait for the lightning. Gotta wait for the lightning. Here comes.
No, not yet.
No. Oh, next one. Time. The time has come. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, I love this.
Here we go. You ready?
Here comes, ready? Thunderbolts and lightning. Oh, yeah. 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your phone calls. Just give us 1 minute here. The latest on your Boston Red Sox. There's a lot of people that have been in the camp of Jackie Bradley Jr., right?
Oh, JBJ love is, oh, man. Is epidemic.
The JBJ cult following is incredible.
Yeah, not since Marcus Smart had his cult following has it been like this.
Well, Marcus Smart, you can sort of see
kind
why
of
in some
it.
Ways,
yeah,
right?
Marcus, like, Marcus Smart could play.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, that's a tough
For a while there, it was more love than performance. And now it's more, he deserves it.
Well, for JBJ, according to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, pretty good reporter, pretty plugged in,
yeah.
Ken Rosenthal. He says, out of the veterans that the Red Sox were rumored to be in search of potential suitors for, Dave Dombrowski is said to have pushed the hardest to move Gold Glove award-winning center fielder Jackie Bradley Jr.
Of course.
Dave Dombrowski was out there looking for a suitor, pushing like hell to get Jackie Bradley Jr. traded, and he couldn't get the job done.
Dombo's doing his job. That's what he
Absolutely.
Should do.
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense. So, sell high.
I just want to say that the next time you're upset and you're angry about someone saying Jackie Bradley Jr. is overrated, I would like you to direct those comments to 4 Jersey Street, care of Dave Dombrowski. I think you should take it up with the man himself because he's trying to trade his ass out of town.
Well, it makes perfect sense. They have debt at the position. They have nothing in their farm system. His contract's going to be up, and he's a liability in the lineup. Even when he was MVP of the ALCS,
well, best thing could happen.
He knocked in 9 runs on 3 swings, and he hit like 180. It was
the
one
best
of those
thing for
things.
You was yeah. he got that award, and hopefully you got a team that's dumb enough out there that said, you know what, this guy can play.
Arizona, we thought the Diamondbacks were going to bite on this. So, man, again, this would be when you get somebody's farm system and you get them to give up some stuff, and you can easily get by with what you have there. I mean,
I'm going to say this.
Yes.
Let's not give up hope.
I know.
Still some time.
Yes.
There's still some time to pull off a deal.
And defense at the position is great, but it gets wildly overrated around here. I mean, but case in point, Manny Ramirez, who was not a center fielder, but he was an outfielder who was adequate, and it didn't cost him a lot of games.
617-779-0985. Let's go back to your calls. Nick is in the truck. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Great show. My favorite 10-2 show on
Thank
the
you.
Radio by far. I know, sorry to switch it up from the Patriots talk a little. But the Eagles have had me watching them for a while now. I love this kid, Nick Foles. What do you guys think is going to happen with them if this kid actually makes a serious push? Even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, let's say he makes a serious run.
Say they get
there. What if they get there?
Say they get there and lose.
What if they win again this week and they've won 2 playoff games with them? Just that alone is a lot.
I know supposedly people in Philadelphia are so offended, extremely offended, if you even bring this up. Because they think they got the guy of the future and went, you can't ever say that about Nick Foles. Like, Portnoy's been all over, like, killing Philly fans. Like, you just got a guy that won the Super Bowl for you. Now,
I
all of a sudden, since he's played,
notice,
he has saved, he has saved your
There's
season.
Only a 3-year difference on the two of them. I didn't know that Nick Foles was that young.
Supposedly, wasn't Andy Reid talking about coming out of retirement? Like, he was going to retire?
He was going to become a minister.
Yeah.
a missionary, minister, something along those lines. He was thinking about giving up football.
I knew he threw the picks last week, and I think one was suspect, but I thought he played well in that game. I thought he threw the ball really well. Even at the end there, man, that throw to Tate, Jesus.
He'll turn 30 years old 10 days from now.
Okay.
He's not even 30 yet.
If you're Philly, say you get to the Super Bowl, but not whether you win or lose it, don't you seriously have to consider potentially keeping him?
Yes.
Like, when you have something, you don't let it go. You know what I mean? This isn't Brady Garoppolo. Like, Brady's won here. He's proven something. Wentz hasn't proven crap. This kid's proven something.
Forget
There's
going.
Something to be playing, something to have your best games in the playoffs when the money's on the line.
So
elimination.
They were certainly the underdogs going into New Orleans this weekend, okay?
They were dead 6 weeks ago, dude.
I think it...
Well, this would change everything.
Forget getting to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl.
Say you popped the number one overall
seed. You popped the New Orleans Saints at their place?
Oh, yeah.
And you're coming off winning the Super Bowl MVP?
You've
got to rethink some things there.
After the touchdown, one of the touchdowns on Sunday, Wentz goes out of his way like to go down the sideline. Like, he had like a half smirk on his face to shake Foles' hand. And I'm like,
congrats, I guess.
Congrats, but I bet that guy's dying inside.
Yeah.
Because you never root for the other guy to do. It's the one position in sports where you're not really rooting for your replacement or the other guy to do well because only one guy plays.
You don't think Drew was rooting for Tom in those early days?
No. It's nice that they have the friendship they
Put
have.
Put up a good
now,
front. You did.
Yeah.
Yep.
You bite your tongue sometimes, man. It's tough.
Dan's dates are coming your way on Zolak and Bertrand next.
Nice.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates. It's January 10th. Dan, go.
It is. Okay, we got a few birthdays here. Rod Stewart. How old do you guys think Rod Stewart
71.
Is?
67.
Beal?
Rod Stewart. I'm going to go 74.
On the nose, Beetle. On the nose.
Wow.
Surprised even yourself.
Tonight!
Yeah. Tonight! So, can you name any songs?
Yeah.
I heard a song on the radio this morning.
Wake up, Maggie. Oh,
that's it.
Maggie May.
I heard that's the best. I heard Forever Young on the radio today.
Oh, that's good. Dylan wrote that, but that's really...
I didn't think it was his birthday. Maybe that's why they're playing it, because that's not a song you hear a lot of these days.
Might be the thing. But so you've picked the one, and the mandolin at the end of Maggie May should be canonized. Very good. George Foreman.
Sound like that.
George Foreman. How old?
66.
67.
Hardy?
70.
On the nose.
Nice.
Yeah, third time each time on the nose.
Nice.
It's funny because when it's listed like George, it says like...
I fly like a butterfly.
Boxing Hall of Famer like and entrepreneur.
So like what?
He's identified not only as
a... Is that what you just said?
Shut up, Dad.
Identified by the grill.
By his entrepreneur, yes. Did he actually
Big bald head?
No.
I just traded out of his name.
They bought his name.
I don't think he built himself a culinary lab and started coming up with ways to make grilling easier in the kitchen. No, he probably...
You know what? I ended up getting one of those, and I ended up losing the drip tray to catch the fin.
Oh, boy.
So then it became unusable.
Didn't Michael Scott injure his foot stepping onto his George Foreman grill?
He said that. He said he burned himself. And, like, he made them put salve on it, wrap it, bubble wrap.
Right.
Yeah.
All right,
to bacon. And he had it hooked up to his clapper, so when he wakes up in the morning,
woke up to the smell of cooking bacon.
Yes.
Pat Benatar is 66 today.
We're running with the sheriff.
Yeah, I couldn't have named anything there. You know,
oh, come on. Pat Benatar?
Oh, come on, Pat Benatar.
What else? Yeah, nothing. Jared Kushner is 38 today.
Oh.
Has a really good job, though.
Only 38?
Yeah, he's got a lot of power. High job, big time job.
He's older than that.
Stuff that happened on date. On January 10th, the horrible one, the Pemberton Mill in Lawrence collapsed and caught fire, killing 145 people in 1860.
Jesus.
A major tragedy. In 1870, John D. Rockefeller incorporated Standard Oil on this date. In 1920, the League of Nations was established as the Treaty of Versailles went into effect on January 10th. On this date, 1946, the first General Assembly of the UN convened in London. On this date in 67, LBJ, the Great Society. You know, good stuff down there. There's one that I always wonder about. So on January 10th, 49 B.C., Caesar crossed the Rubicon.
The real Caesar?
Which started a civil war. And I always, like, how do they know? Like, how did they know what day it was in B.C.
Right.
49? Because you're working toward the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, like, what did they call it then? Like,
there ain't no Jesus.
What was the official?
No Jesus
how would it,
right.
How would you figure
how
out?
How would you even know you had a BC?
Right. Thank you.
I feel like we have asked this question before, we came up with an answer, and the answer was so underwhelming, we all forgot it. But it's been researched, I think, on this program during this segment.
Bothered
before.
Me when there's dates BC. Like says who, and how did they know that? They had to count backwards once the Savior was born. I don't know. Just I don't get it. Anyway, a B.C. thing on January 10th, allegedly. On this date in 1964, the Beatles' first album was released in the United States. Yeah. On this date in 1956, The King recorded Heartbreak Hotel.
That would be, I'm in my baby.
Elvis was the hero the most, but he never meant bleep to me.
Is that
Chuck
serious?
D. That's Public Enemy. Yeah.
Really? Oh,
straight up racist sucker was simple and plain.
I thought you were saying it yourself.
No.
Okay.
I was
Chuck D.
A couple of sports things that happened on January 10th. Jimmy Johnson was hired by the Miami Dolphins on this date, 1996. Do you have any relationship with Jimmy Johnson?
Hell yeah. He recruited me hard to go to University of Miami and then helped pay the bills half a year when Marino was hurt.
Yeah.
Made the call. Come on in.
Nice.
Yeah.
You liked him?
Loved him.
Yeah?
Loved him. Hair never moved.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you ever touch the hair?
No. You don't touch the hair.
No, touch the hair.
It's like, it's a movie, Saturday Night Fever. Get off the hair.
Right.
Yeah.
I work a long time my hand. Right. He hits it.
Right. The last thing I have for January 10th is two things. Championships of football in 1982, they were both momentous.
Georgia?
On the
Georgia Pitt.
On the AFC side was the Cincinnati Bengals game. It was the coldest game in history of football, I believe. It was certainly the coldest championship. Colder than the Ice Bowl, all that stuff like that. It was the Bengals. How they beat somebody. It was Boomer Esiason made it to the Super Bowl. And on the other side...
Colder than it was in here today?
I doubt that.
Couldn't have been that cold.
On the other side, the NFC Championship, someone had referenced this. This was the catch, the Dwight Clark catch, Joe Montana. 28-27, Niners over the Dallas Cowboys to put them in the Super Bowl, which they eventually won. And that is all I have for January 10th.
Okay.
I'm not making it up, but that's all I got.
I do have a date in baseball history.
What you got?
On this date in the year of our Lord, 1907, John McGraw saves the day when he prevents a runaway team of horses from injuring two West Coast women. The Fiery Giants' manager's heroic deed of stopping the wayward steeds takes place in the City of Angels. John McGraw captured two runaway horses.
In San Diego?
That was City of Angels. Yes, I gotcha.
You know, there's wild horses.
Was there a music
like
one you guys were mentioning off air earlier?
There is a music one on this date, 1976.
Okay.
Part of the very strange popular culture fascination with long haul trucking, the C.W. McCall song Convoy hit number one on the U.S. pop charts. T-Bone? Do we have. I thought we had Convoy ready to go.
One freaking job.
No, I thought it was something that was discussed earlier.
Convoy was big.
Jim's nodding. We have it, right?
Okay, but
I'm not sure we do.
No. Okay, so Zoe was young. I was very young.
CB.
Can you...
Breaker 19.
Let's listen to this for a moment.
Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown, come on.
Number one hit.
This was a number one hit.
Number one song.
Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah, I was part of this. We love this.
It was a dark moon on the 6th of June.
Joe West?
Kenworth pulling logs.
Kenworth hauling
logs. Hey there, Billy.
Ferron and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on
I-1,
about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
That's San Francisco Shaky Town.
Convoy.
This is so freaking bad.
Number one.
Cartoon.
So there's a lot of things I don't understand about this. Remember, we had a C.W. McCall album in our house. My dad's favorite song was Wolf Creek Pass by C.W. McCall.
Album.
Yeah, Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
But what is the fascination with a convoy? It's a bunch of trucks all driving together on the road, which is pretty much what they do. Well, who cares?
You go, and the next guy leaves.
There's a song celebrating a convoy. And all trucks driving in a line. So what? What's the accomplishment?
It was the CB radio craze.
To our trucker friends who are listening, does that still happen?
Convoys?
Yeah, is that still a thing?
Yeah, give us a call.
There's so many trucks on the road.
Give us a call. Big CB there, one nighter.
Let me tell you something. You want your kid to make a lot of money like 10 years from now?
Drive truck.
Trucker shortage. Everybody's sending stuff all over the place. They don't have enough people to drive truck.
Have you ever seen
a trucker?
Have you ever seen one of the back?
Enough people drive truck.
You ever see one of the back of those? Like you go on one of the nice big 18 wheelers? No, the back of the cab.
Oh, the cab. Oh, yeah, they're nice.
You go on a nice one. They got like flat screen bed. The flat screen's above the bed.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, you went on that bus. It's kind of like the same thing.
Not really. But Dan, what was the fascination with trucks?
CB
keep
radios.
On trucking.
People
CB
had,
radios.
People had CB radios in their cars.
Yeah, my dad had one.
So that was the fascination.
Citizens Band.
Grandfather had one. Would sit there on the
porch. You could talk to each other
CB
while you
scanner,
were in the car.
CB scanner, scanners.
That was it.
I think cell phones kind of put that away. But yes, the old CBs.
Yeah, you felt like you were able to connect with people.
Yes, it was connecting.
Like, this is cool. This is not even.
But there was, it was a whole thing like Smokey and the Bandit. That was like glory. That
was
like
very popular.
You know, celebrating the trucker culture.
Car chases. Car chases were big when I was a little kid. Car chases were everywhere. Just
like
the Hazard,
Smokey
and the Bandit, all that stuff.
It's like Cannonball Run. But you were able to talk in a different language. Like, hey there, now one Brigadier, rubber ducky.
Oh, yeah. All that code.
Hey there.
Sure. Oh, yeah. What do you think the chatter is on the CB radios now? There's nothing but truckers on there, right?
I don't know that they use them. They probably use cell phones.
Okay, we got to talk to a trucker.
What do they call 617?
How do you know if a Smokey's waiting for you?
Do you say Smokey?
Smokey.
They got to have another code name for Smokey. Like,
he's got a Kojak with a Kodak sitting with his ass in the grass. What's your 1020? See that?
Mile marker 4.
Yeah, that's the cop with the radar gun. Kojak with the Kodak. See that?
You want three Patriots ones from January 10th?
Yes.
Speaking of cold, Tennessee game back in 2003.
Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
I locked my keys in my car that night.
Did you?
It was miserable, yeah.
There's a great NFL film shot of the fire in a trash barrel in the parking lot.
Yeah. We had one of those gone.
The Gillette Stadium sign in the background.
Tom Brady will tell you that is the coldest he has been on a football field.
Oh, that was unreal. That
Ray
was
Rice, long run.
Ooh, that's a bad one.
Ooh.
That's not a good one.
Forrest Gump up the gut.
And then 2014, the double pass against the Ravens. That was also January 10th.
That's a good one.
Did well.
A lot of stadiums.
That's
ever
a good
been.
One.
Ooh.
That was also a cold game, 2009.
Was that the debut of Josie? That might have been the debut of Josie.
That should have been the lead item of Dan States if I knew that.
Ray Rice up the gut, 82 yards, right?
Yeah, just kept running up Route 1.
What about Wendy's? Like, where's the beef?
Gump. It was
Gump-like.
Didn't
stop till you hit the Red Wing Diner.
Just going up there.
Jim, how many years ago were they searching for the location of beef?
God. What's that? 35 now. 1985.
35 years. That's two old women in the back of a car. Wendy's commercial.
Where's the beef?
Yeah. Where's the beef?
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm over. I got to go.
And the first episode of Sopranos, 20 years ago.
Today. Oh, first really? Sopranos.
Oh, wow. HBO's running that nonstop now every day.
Oh, celebrating the 20th anniversary.
So good.
I have put myself through massive sleep deprivation over the last several days. I stay up and watching them until 11:30 every night until they're done running them for the evening. And
see the one with Sil killed Adriana the other night?
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday.
Where are you going?
Where do you got to get a peek of our new intern. He looks like one of them.
Christopher.
Kid's like 12, and he's got the black hair, and it's all combed back.
He gets his leg shot in Goodfellas, too, right? Michael Imperioli?
Yeah, his spider.
His stereo. It's got no balls.
Watch yourself, Tommy.
He's got stereos now.
Where's he going? He's already
got
done.
No balls.
We didn't even throw out the break yet.
Oh, we're into Frovertime.
Yeah, it's
1:03. Into Frovertime.
He's out.
See you, Dan. Thanks.
All right, Hardy has your headlines. We'll jump right back on the calls. And by the way, we got some questions about truckers, if you can answer those for us.
Breaker.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
Hey, now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.